Opinions expressed in the following program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
We hear things in the deep dark night. We see things in the shadows, in the corners of our eyes, in mind, in dim light. We sense things when they just aren't right. Our dealings are not with human flesh and bone, but rather with an essence that defies even the basic laws of nature, like space and time. These elusive selves challenge our logical minds, forcing us to take faith in the unseen, the unsubstantiated. We cling to theory, statistical inevitability, and the imminent manifestation of mystery. Brought to you by WKTV, I'm your ghost host, Wayne Preston Curtis Thomas. Welcome to another episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. As always, we ask that you please keep an open mind about things that you might not easily believe as we explore the mysterious. On this episode, we will examine tarot, the mystical power of the cosmic universe. I first met Esther Joy using her intuitive powers to interpret tarot cards at a real haunted mansion. Please welcome to the show, Esther Joy.
Hello, thank you for having me back.
I could read part of your bio, Esther, and see you're empathic, clairvoyant, a prophetic dreamer. You're an artist, you love horses, and long walks on the beach, or did I make that part up?
I mean, yes, that too.
That too. You know, I mean, that's some of the things I think you're into. I don't know. There's so many closet witches that show up on this show. But you're here mostly for tarot.
Yep.
But you're also into some pottery.
Yes.
And you said you're doing some things with pottery that I might be interested in. Intuitive body tuning.
Yes. Yes, I'm really excited to share about that. It's something that I'm still actively kind of pioneering my way into, but the more that I explore it, the more I'm connecting with other healers who have the interpretation for the science behind what I'm actually doing. And so it's kind of a really fun combination of things.
A science, huh? Yeah. I kind of wondered whether tarot was some kind of a pseudoscience. It's more of a mystical science.
Somewhat. There's a lot of connections with psychology and using the symbolism to communicate with your subconscious.
And then a lot of my friends that are into tarot are also into astrology. You said,
yeah,
maybe you for yourself, but not so much for other people.
Yeah, yeah. I have a general knowledge. I like to study it for my own purposes, and I like to like confirm it with friends, but I don't think I would know enough to be able to teach anything about it that isn't easily found.
Well, I know there's some common ground because some of the astrological stuff is in tarot share some of the same names.
They do, yeah, yeah. And for all of the signs, there are different cards in the major arcana that correlate with them.
And the four elements.
Yes, yep. The four suits of the cards represent the four elements. And so we've got
water.
Yep.
Go ahead.
We have wands, which are fire, cups, which are water, swords, which represent air, and then pentacles, which is earth.
And astrology also works off those elements, apparently.
Yeah.
But you not so much, but some of my friends, yeah, they seem to go hand in hand, astrology and tarot.
Yeah.
But this pottery seems to be running your family.
It does. Yep. My father's an artist. The kiln that I'm actually working with my studio is from him. And so I've been an artist my whole life.
So explain, maybe start with this right here, because
yeah,
this is right out here.
So this is actually kind of where it started. I know last time I was on, I had some pottery with me where I had that big tarantula and a couple
right.
other things. And that was when I first started experiencing or exploring with pottery at all. So you've really been able to kind of be with me through the whole journey to where I am now. So these are little faces, and I call them feeling faces, or, you know, a range of emotions. And these are tools that I use. One, they're just cute, you know, little faces that are very functional magnets, but on kind of the flip side to that, they're actually a really nice hack to identifying with emotions. And so in like therapeutic purposes, you can use them, one, to just become more observant of your emotions on seeing a face and seeing whether or not you can relate to it. Of like, oh, do I feel this way? No, not really. So I don't necessarily connect to that one, but this one over here, yeah. And what it does is, just in looking at it and being, oh, this is cool, you're putting yourself into a more observant place where now you're more self-aware and you're paying attention to what your emotions are. And they end up, I have an agreement with my equine therapist where I trade her these, and she uses them in her office, and she uses them to let her kid clients create stories kind of express themselves differently. And so I'm in the process of putting together like sets that just have a full range of emotions to help you, whether for your own purposes to feel how you're feeling, but also to kind of help. I have a friend who's ordering a set to have his kids be able to help communicate how they're feeling without having to necessarily use their words.
Some of them speak to me more than others.
Yes.
And
yes.
Some of them have more of a, like, this one has a more of a prominent snout on it. But this one's got, I like the looks of this one. It's just kind of like a moon or dreamy look to it.
They are so varied. It's really fun to make them because you end up kind of just, you just kind of squish them a little bit. Yeah. And all of a sudden you're looking at all of these different people coming out. And It's kind of a fun thing for when you're making them, because they totally turn into a tool of, you make them while you're watching TV or something, and all of a sudden you look down and you're like, oh, is that how I'm feeling today?
Oh, yeah.
It's really fun. But
now that tarantula that you got in, though, I mean, it's pretty hard to get past that thing.
That was really cool. I'm really proud of that. I ended up, that one got bought for a girl who was going through a whole transformation process, and it was a gift for her open house.
It wasn't where she was afraid of spiders.
No, but it was more of an empowerment journey where kind of a, here's where you are, and you've embraced your shadows, and now the things that used to scare you don't scare you so much anymore. In fact, now you recognize the strength that comes with learning how to work with your fears.
When I met you, I wasn't kidding, you were in a real haunted house.
Yes, yep, I was working
on a haunted mansion.
Yes. Yep.
You're reading tarot, and you would set up like an altar almost, or a shrine, with all your different crystals.
Yes.
And a little doily or something.
just a little cover space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was so cool. I liked the way you did it. And I liked the pageantry of it, whole thing.
Well, I'm a theater kid. And so spectacle is a really, you know, visceral part of the experience, especially when you're connecting with somebody. And tarot, on one hand, it can be a very, you know, general, here's just kind of a cold read, here's what they're saying. Other times, it can get really, really personal and really intimate really quickly. And so kind of having a space where it's already pre-designated to be safe for that kind of an experience, where it's not quite so spooky. Because sometimes it can be uncanny.
Yeah. I could actually see you in a stereotypical costume.
Oh, yeah. That's my favorite thing for Halloween. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done a couple different events doing readings and coming in just fully decked out. It's a blast. But that's also the theater kid in me that loves to get dressed up.
I think that would be a fun part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And now you were part of that macabre experience.
Yep, I read from
that
macabre.
Was Paddock Place.
Yep.
Do you know if they're planning on...
I am not sure. I haven't been closely in touch with them. I think they're planning on coming back, but I don't know if they have a set time for it.
That was an extravaganza.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
It was an incredible experience, and what an honor to be a part of it.
And so you read tarot there.
Yeah.
And you were in costume a little bit?
Oh, totally. Totally.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
I wish I had made it over to that. And your mother showed up.
Yes. That was incredible. So the very first macabre in 2019, that was actually my first time reading publicly as a tarot reader. And so from that, that kind of started the whole journey of being like, wait a second, I can do this for people without having to worry about whether or not, you know, you doubt yourself a lot.
Oh.
And so by the time it got to the one where my mom came, that was incredible because my mom has different opinions about the tarot itself, but she came to support me and went through the whole haunted house with us and got to meet all of the actors and the friends and had a wonderful time. And it was cool because she got to kind of sit in and listen to me reading for other people, and that gave her a different perspective on kind of how this works.
My wife has had a reading by you.
Yeah.
Back then, when we first met, my friend from Australia
was visiting,
who was a medium, and like he can't meet you without reading you.
Nope. That's how it works.
Yeah. So I thought it was cool. You guys were reading each other.
Yeah.
And that the thing he said was there was a little boy.
Yep.
Right beside you.
Yep.
At the paddock place.
Yep.
And it just so happens.
That's one of the residents there.
Yes.
Yeah. He comes around and plays. Sometimes when I was working there, and like I'm obviously friends with a lot of the staff that were working there too, and so they would tell me stories of hearing him running down the hallway, mm-hmm. or like seeing it, you know, you see something just kind of dart around the corner and you're like, wait a second, that wasn't a person in a body.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We really have some stories from there. I'm wishing Brandon, one of our other co-hosts, had made it because he had experiences there. Yeah. That he remembers stuff that says, like you ask, like how many spirits are here, and you get a countdown, not just, yep. It doesn't say one, it starts one, two,
yep.
three, four, five, yeah. And then you realize, I got a whole room of ghosts
right,
here with me.
Right, we are not alone.
Yeah, and that third floor on a paddock place.
Yeah, the third floor is pretty intense.
There's something weird about that. It was like being on a ship.
Yeah,
I felt
that
like the
feeling.
Floor.
Yeah.
Like that's the floor is moving.
Yeah.
Like a fun house or something.
Yeah, that's funny because that's something I was just talking to my sister about that. Because for me, that's one of my senses when I'm feeling non-physical beings and I'm interacting with them, it is that feeling of like where like you stepped onto the elevator and it's getting that thing where gravity is kind of doing a weird whoomp thing.
Yeah.
And she had been experiencing that for the first time and it was unfamiliar and I'm like, oh, hey, I know what that is. And most of the time for me anyways, that's when somebody's trying to get your attention or letting you know that, hey, I'm here,
right?
And here's a way that I can help you feel that.
Well, you mentioned the elevator.
Yeah.
That seemed to have a mind of its own.
Yes. Yeah.
It would let you out if it wanted to or not. Yep.
Which floor? We don't know. Right. We just go where we go.
Oh, yeah. That's a fun place. Yes, and it's still open, right?
Yeah. Yep. They're still, I believe they're still operating. I'm not reading out of them
right.
anymore.
Yeah. I know you were doing Tarot Tuesdays.
I was. And that was a wonderful time. But that, ever since the pandemic, I haven't been working through there. They had some change in management. And so now I'm just kind of doing personal readings, and then I read out of my home, and occasionally I'll do events.
Okay. Now, that's a Gilmore property.
Yes.
And it just so happens that Gilmores were kind of friends of ours.
Yeah.
And, well, Paddock Place was Nick Finks.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he made sure that I had access to any of those places
Nick
that were...
Nick Finks is another one.
Right, supposedly haunted. He made sure I could get in there. Yeah, that was fun running into you back then. We had mutual friends. Molly, our friend Molly, was on the show with you before on this show. And we talked more crystals.
Yep.
But, you know, something that you talked about that I really appreciated was grounding, because people need to know about that.
I would love to talk more about that. That kind of goes in hand with, no pun intended, kind of goes in hand with the body tuners that I'm starting to work on.
Okay, let's cover that.
So it started with the faces,
right.
and then from the faces it ended up turning into these little figurines, which were initially just kind of designed as just an intuitive kind of, here's just the emotion that I'm feeling, and turning it into something that you can hold in your hand.
And you made all these?
Yes, I did. And these are another one that was just kind of I'm very hands-on, so when it comes to experiencing things or feeling things, having it in my hand to learn or work with really helps me to kind of understand it differently.
Oh yeah, these are cool. And this, they kind of speak to me like maybe a religious, I get
they,
more.
They do have a bit of that
of
feeling.
A, like a, yeah. baby Jesus
yep.
or something,
Absolutely.
Mother Mary kind
Absolutely.
Of thing happening here.
Yep.
And And this one here, I mean,
this is Brotherly Love.
Yeah, okay.
And it's just that. it's just kind of
I like those.
The feeling of safe intimacy, you know, where you can be embraced. And I make them for my friends who struggle with loneliness.
Okay.
And so I'll make them where it's like, here, we're hugging you. So that way, whenever you're feeling, you know, not yourself, you can take this and hold it and focus on it. And it's kind of just that reminder of the conversations that we've had to let you know that you're not alone. And to let you know that you're connected.
It is Mental Health Month.
It is, yes.
I like to point that out because, you know, my pet project is suicide prevention.
Yeah. Well, on that note a little bit, it went from being these very warm, comforting tools to I ended up starting to make them to represent emotions that are a little bit more difficult to move through and to process. And so this one is grief.
Okay.
And there's one, I moved it, but I'm going to bring it back up because I feel like, especially talking about the mental health side of it. This one is anxiety.
Oh, yeah, I can see that.
And so they turn into tools that, one, help you kind of ground into the feeling because you can't clear emotions until you feel them. So then you can go, oh, this is how I'm feeling right now. It feels like I have bees for brains.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can take it and you can go, okay, you know, as you move, I made a set specifically designed to tune from anxiety to, okay, first bees for brain. And then it's like, ow, like this hurts. This is difficult emotions to feel. And it's not pleasant being in them. But then from there, coming back up to like, okay, well, I can do this. And then going from, okay, here's my anxiety to wait, but I'm supported. I have people that care about me. I have people that will love and support me even if I don't do the thing that I'm anxious about. And it's kind of a fun way to very like in your hand go, here's where I am. Here's where I'd like to move into. And then they're just kind of a handy tool to help you adjust your emotions however you would like to.
I could see that. They're kind of generic.
Yes.
They're very form and detail.
They're very soft.
But they speak volumes.
Well, there's a lot of power in few words. And so and also, you know, there's a lot of power in no words at all. You can communicate really clearly without having to articulate it. And these are a really good tool for that, especially dealing with mental states that are really hard to talk through sometimes. So then it's like having these lined up to where it's like, you know, having something where I, cause like me, I also struggle with my mental health, and which is kind of a common, I was going to talk about that later about correlations between psychic gifts and how that can kind of manifest in different mental illnesses.
Oh.
Not specifically mental illnesses, but how it can feel a lot like them, and you don't necessarily recognize the connections.
Right. There's a stigma that goes along with mental health.
Yes.
For some reason, you know, it's one thing, like me, I broke my back in 5 places. That's one thing.
Yeah.
People can understand that. But if I was broken up here,
you don't have anything to show
they,
it.
Yeah, they might, yeah. Oh, yeah, they might not even believe that I am broken.
Yeah, it's really tricky. That's mental health advocacy is something that I'm really passionate about, and it is, there are stigmas, and it's on one hand understandable because when you don't know what something is or you don't know, you know, why someone's behaving the way that they're behaving, then it can be really easy to kind of just jump to conclusions about it, but with education you can learn a lot more about it, and it starts making things make a lot more sense, especially with like anxiety and like CPTSD, especially is the one that I deal with, and it manifests in all kinds of different ways. And so learning about it helps you talk about it, and then when you can communicate about it, then the people around you can understand what you're going through, and then they can advocate for you too.
Yeah, my emphasis has been more on the veterans.
Yes.
I mean, we lose a veteran about every hour.
Yeah.
To suicide.
Yeah, it's terrible.
So, yeah. And there's other groups, too, that are out there that suffer those same sort of statistical losses.
Yeah. Right. It's a terrible and terrifying place, feeling unsafe in your own mind. you know, and in your own experience, where you've had experiences that have proven to you that situations can happen where you're not safe and there's nothing you can do about it.
Especially when you're in, you're younger and you're going through other changes too.
Absolutely.
I can see where a tool like you described for the young people that can help tell their stories.
Yes.
Would be very helpful.
It helps a lot. And like for me, I get very nonverbal sometimes when I'm having like an episode with where like my trauma gets triggered. And so from the hand statues, I had another download, I guess, for lack of a better word. And I made these little guys, and I wasn't even sure what they were at the time. It was just one of those, like, I have to make this, you know?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
And it was very specifically about how it felt in my hands. So this one is for your right hand, and this one is for your left hand.
Yeah. Right.
And they it's a little bit like brass knuckles.
or I'm thinking a gun.
Well, yeah, I guess that too. Well, and I've got a couple different ones because those are the ones that kind of started it. And those are the only ones that I even have glazed right now because I've been moving them.
See, this one I could put my sage in.
Yeah.
For my smudging.
Yeah.
I mean, some people use that small.
That was kind of what it felt like when I was making it. And it was funny because when I made them, it was very intuitive. But my sister is a healer as well. She's a massage therapist. And then she just got attuned in Reiki as well. And she... Because I was telling her, I'm like, I made this thing. It's weird. I don't really know what it is, but it's cool. Put this in your hand.
Yeah.
And she picks it up and she's like, oh, that closes a circuit. So your left side in your body is the feminine side and your right side is the masculine side.
Okay.
And so this one, feminine, is the open. It's the cup. It's the receiver. The masculine is the pusher, the doer. So in closing this, according to my sister, it closes a circuit in your energy that actually, like holding your hand in this position, it flexes just so to where it relaxes spaces that don't necessarily get relaxed all the time, all the way up to into your neck.
Oh. And therapeutic.
I'm like, who would have thought? So right. So from there, I was like, well, okay, like what else? You know, what else? I don't know. So then I ended up making, first I made this one. This is for your left hand. And this one I made because I wanted it to feel like you were holding hands with someone. Because I wanted it to, and they're made for, try flipping that over. And then here. They're also fidget toys.
Oh, yeah.
So they're for kind of, you hold it and you mess with it, and then all of a sudden you'll find the spot where your hand's supposed to go and it kind of clicks in. This one's for your right hand.
Oh, yeah. Now, you know, this one and the one you have kind of look like my backbone right now.
You know? So hold that one and then hold this one at the same time. And these are a set that I'm working on. And so just taking a moment, when you hold them, and you can hold them firmly or softly, but they're grounding tools. Because if you feel it, like the energy in your hands, how does that feel?
Feels like a fit.
Yeah. That's it for me, what it feels like is like the kind of sensory static of here's a lot of different things that I'm experiencing and feeling and receiving. And then I put these in my hand and it almost feels like you click it into the right frequency and it goes boom. And everything gets a little bit quieter, everything gets a little bit more solid. And I can feel it if I hold those for a while, I can feel it going all the way up my arms where like my energy kind of goes, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing? That's kind of cool. And so for me, it, like with the ADHD, like stimming or fidgeting is something that is really calming for me. And so having that, like, so I play with like the fidget spinners and the stuff like that. These do that same like sensory calming thing for me. And I'm really excited to kind of play around and make more. And so I've been making a couple different kinds because obviously everybody's got different hands.
Right.
And
that should fit mine pretty good though.
Yeah. Well, that's one of my favorite ones. And so, and it's something that's actually really easily, you can make it with your own hand. You know, it's not a lot of clay.
Right.
And then you can just make it. These are more ones for your right hands. Mm-hmm. But they're just, and they're for placing them in different ways for different positioning. And each one of them does a different thing to your energy. And so I have another friend who is also psychic. And we're going to start working on kind of tuning ourselves to specific emotional states and then creating one or creating them to like correlate with specific chakras or specific experiences, and see about how we can play with using this to kind of help focus your brain to moving to the place that you want to be.
Because your friend, this, is that someone you told me about already or no?
That's actually Jaden. She's my friend that you met at Paddock Place, who was the
way
medium.
Back when.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, and so she's actually, she's working with me on my pottery business.
Yeah,
as
you
well.
Seemed close back then.
Yeah, best friends.
Yeah. You know, I read this bio and some of the stuff was true. Of course, I didn't know about the long walks on the beach. But your love of horses,
yes.
That's still,
yes.
It's
yes.
Still going?
Still going and strong. I don't run the co-op anymore.
Oh.
That was an incredible experience,
yes.
And a very good lesson. But I am now going to just take this time to enjoy having my own horse.
Oh, yeah.
And not have to share my joy before I allow myself to experience it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, good. Yeah, I was curious about that. I never did get over it, but I saw you training your horse.
Yeah. Right? He's such a good boy.
Oh, man. I couldn't believe the stuff you had that horse doing.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a really incredible experience. And it definitely, that goes and ties in with like that trauma processing as well. Because horses are really good at providing immediate biofeedback to how you're feeling.
I would think.
And it's a good tool.
Now, back in the day, you were doing some ghost hunting.
Yes.
Still or not?
Yeah, still. Not specifically hunting. I am a medium. Not to the same extent that I can like see people standing around, but I do have interactions with non-physical beings. And so it's not so much hunting so much as just interacting, because it happens, you know, pretty consistently. Not to the, like, I have a friend who's, she's like at a 200 where it's just like, this person just walked through my kitchen.
All right.
Mine is more like I'll start feeling it and it'll feel like kind of like a cold draft. I'm like, what is that? You know, like I don't even think about it until it's there for longer than it should be. And then I'm like, wait, what's the temperature inside? And I'm like, okay, nope. So wait, that's somebody else. So, okay. So
yeah.
Then from there, a tool that works really well for me is I do automatic writing. Once I recognize, oh, there's somebody. So like, it'll be like a cool draft and sometimes it'll be kind of a weird anxiety, which at first I didn't know what it was. And then later, as I kind of started working on meditating and developing that, it was, oh, that's because there's someone standing right here. I just can't see them. And so I've learned how to kind of set those boundaries a little bit to where it's like, okay, hey, we can talk, but I need you to step over here because you're making my body freak out. And I don't know how to do this very well yet. So be patient with me. But also thank you for, you know, reaching out.
I've worked with some people with automatic writing on ghost hunts and doing a reading, medium reading.
Yeah.
So when you do are you like all over the page?
Sometimes,
yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes it's well, and they say for automatic writing, they say that using your non-dominant hand works really well. And that's just kind of bringing yourself to kind of a neutral state of mind and asking, and then just kind of seeing what comes up. For me, usually I'll scribble for a little bit. And then if I'm using my dominant hand, I just kind of start writing whatever comes to my mind. And it's kind of incredible how stuff comes up. You're like, that's not what I would have thought of saying. But then it just kind of says it and you're just like, all right, cool. And when I use my non-dominant hand, sometimes it's hard to read.
Yeah.
But like as I'm writing, I'm kind of getting the gist of what it's saying.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's funny because when I was a kid, I used to do that all the time. And I didn't really connect that until recently where it was like, oh, I've had stuff that I was working with for a long time and I didn't understand that was kind of me, I guess, tuning my radio signals.
Yeah, I would not be able to use non-dominant hand.
It's hard.
Because
I have to go in and rewrite it.
I need an Egyptian to decipher my dominant hand, so the left hand would not do it. So I know you're staying busy. Did you do an online store?
No, not yet.
Oh.
I'm currently selling just through Facebook.
Okay.
And I'm actually, I was trying to get it done before I got here so that way I could have an official thing to
yeah.
say. But the 1990 Collectives is my business, and that's kind of the header for all of the things that I'm doing. And so I'm on Facebook, the 1990 Collectives. I think just that, and maybe LLC.
Okay.
But I'm going to be doing Shopify and Etsy, but eventually I'd like to just have my own page.
Yeah.
Because I have a very broad range of interests, and so I'd like to set it up as a way for people to kind of access a lot of the different things that I'm doing.
But you have a pottery studio?
Yes. Yep. That's at my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fine, all right,
which
nice.
Is really exciting.
Yeah. Although we can't really endorse products or
services
on this program, but we can say where your business is where your products can be found.
Yeah.
We can give that kind of information out. I just can't say buy your stuff.
Don't,
even though I may
posted.
Have already, or I may have used your, like I say, my wife had a reading from you at least once, if maybe a couple times if I know her. Yeah. She thought about coming tonight and just setting so you could have gave her a reading again, but we're missing a couple people, but this is fun, the two of us.
Yes.
And we need to talk about tarot.
Yeah.
When you're on before, I'm like, I'm wondering where in the heck are these messages from the tarot coming from? I think it's safer than some of the stuff I was doing as a ghost hunter, whereas I think sometimes you're thinking you're conjuring something.
Sometimes.
But with tarot, it's this cosmic power, I think, that you're drawing on. You're not. It's not like you're going into an afterlife.
I suppose if that was your intention, then you could use them. So for me, the tarot is a tool. It's a tool just like, you know, not quite as simple as a calculator, but it's a tool that uses the symbolism on the cards to communicate with your own subconscious mind. Kind of like how when you're dreaming and certain things in your dream represent other things.
When you think it pulls stuff out of your subconscious
mind? Yeah, that's what it's designed for. Kind of like the Rorschach test in psychology, where it's like, what do you see from this image?
Okay.
And so for me, obviously, I know what these all mean.
It pulls it out of your subconscious mind or my subconscious
Yours.
Mind?
Yours, and then I just interpret it.
Okay, and you use your intuitive
Although
powers.
Anybody could pick up a deck of cards with a book that just comes with it and give themselves a pretty good reading just you know, from there. I have a couple of friends that are like, I do that, but I have to read from the book, so I'm not that good. And it's I know incredible readers that still read from the book every single time.
And I think it might be fun to, like, even if I had to read from the book. And you can read yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And honestly, I encourage that a lot. I have a couple people that, I'll do readings for them, but like I have a group of friends that I'll go to their house, and one friend I'll read for, and we go, you know, go to the side and do one-on-ones. But then I have another friend who I just like toss him a deck, and he picks a couple cards and reads what they mean. And he's like, that was what I needed to know. And then I have another friend that, she'll pull her own cards, and then I'll tell her what they mean, or she'll read them from the book. And it's something that I really strongly encourage, if that's something that you're interested in, to try it out, because it's a lot less threatening.
I think,
because you're not having somebody staring at you while you're learning about things that, you know, sometimes they can get personal. And so it's like, you know, I generally, like, for me, I use it as a tool for kind of working with what's going on right now and learning about how you're feeling about situations. And then I can read the future, but the future timelines change fast. And so for me, I don't usually read the future in terms of like specific events. I read the future in terms of like, if I took this path or this path, which path is going to lead me to closer to where I'd like to go.
Much safer than a Ouija board.
Yeah. I don't work with Ouija boards at all. I have one that was given to me that I've just kind of closed it and am waiting, because I was told, for lack of a better word, that is something for later, and I think that the purpose for that is for me to learn how to specifically tune it, because when I got it, it was... One is, don't mess with that frivolously. That's the same as just leaving your door open in whatever neighborhood with whoever wants to walk through.
Right.
And they can be used safely and properly by people who know how to set those boundaries. But they're not, I wouldn't recommend playing with them as just like a, you know, well,
you
I don't know, let's just mess around
know.
And find out. Yeah.
You don't necessarily know who you're inviting in with Ouija. Yeah. And I don't know that there, are there any risk with tarot?
Not in my experience, no. There are, like when I first started reading tarot, I grew up very, like, conservative Christian, and so it was very, anything to do with anything that was not in this safe place that was already designed was very much, like, don't even look at it. Don't think about it. Don't look at it. Don't touch it. And so when I first started reading tarot, I didn't even open my cards for a month because I wanted to, like, read every book I could find just to make sure that there was nothing that could come through. And as I was educating myself, I found it to be way different than I was told. And no, they don't.
Okay. I know some of the cards were interesting. And there's a devil card.
Yep. The devil card is usually talking about... it's talking about situations where you have a like the taboo card of like, oh, there's something that you want but you feel like you shouldn't have, or something that you're interested in but you feel like it's not safe to look at. Other times it can be talking about kind of like an irresponsible weight of responsibility that you're putting on yourself. So it's like, I want a break but I have to go and do this work instead.
The death card. How about the death card?
Death card is change. Big change.
Change?
Like life change, yeah.
Okay, so just because a death card comes up, it's not like, oh.
It's actually one of my favorites. Same thing for the tower. Yeah. No, I've had in my 13 years of reading, I think I've had the death card talk about an actual physical death, I think only 2 or 3 times.
The Ten of Swords. A guy, is he face down with 10 swords in his back?
Ten of Swords is a stressful card.
Oh, okay.
It is a stressful card. It every deck tends to have like a similar I'm trying to find him for you because Ten of Swords is
not a
fun one. The Ten of Swords is the height of being absolutely destroyed by your stress or terrible things happening. So in this one, the Ten of Swords is him getting stabbed by it, and it is absolutely like that card coming up. It absolutely affects the direction of the reading.
And then he's got this beam of light coming out of his mouth.
Yep. That one...
I don't know what that is.
It can be a lot of things. So swords are often talking about like verbal communication and like trials and tribulations. And so for me, a lot of times when I'm reading with this deck in particular, swords are talking about like cutting words. And so sometimes in this card, depending on the other cards around it, I would interpret it as on one hand, it's like, you know how you get to a certain point of being stressed where you have no buffer left between what you really think about something and saying it. And so this is the card of you are spilling your stress into the world around you because of needing something adjusted to help you stop that from being so oppressive.
Okay, I looked up, I always do some research, and tarot decks.
Yeah.
And I have 7 listed here. The Rider.
Yep, that's the most common.
Is one of your decks the Rider?
No, I don't have one of those right now. I have, and I've actually gifted it.
Smith-Waite.
Yep.
Centennial.
Yep.
Elemental.
Yes.
The Black Power Tarot.
Oh, fancy.
Have you heard of that one?
I haven't.
Okay. Yeah, I hadn't. Neo Tarot.
Yeah, the newer.
Newer? N-E-O. And then Light Seers Tarot.
Yeah.
And then this one caught my eye. Modern Witch.
Yes. Tarot. I just gave that one away the other month. I had one of those. And that one's delightful. It's very... So there are as many decks as you could imagine.
Yeah, they said there are many. That's just 7.
Yeah.
Now you got 2 decks, and that your 2 decks aren't any of those 7.
No. No.
Oh, okay.
No. I have. Tell us this about is them. This is the Cosmic Tarot.
Oh yeah.
And this is my favorite working deck because it is very well. We can still talk about stuff that's difficult to talk about. It generally has a very, so like every deck. It almost is like it has a different, like you're talking to a different person. So it's a different way of speaking. And so this deck is very, it's very soft, it's very comforting, and it's very like, hey, we're going to talk about some serious stuff, but it's going to be okay. And we're going to help you kind of work your way around to being able to feel that yourself. And this one is actually not a tarot deck. This is more of an oracle card deck. And this is called the Woven Wisdom deck. And so this is kind of, I use this to kind of get more clarification on that. And just, it's a another perspective.
Yeah, I've heard of some other cards, angel cards.
Yep. Yep. Angel oracle cards are fantastic. And they oracle cards are a really good tool for getting a message right now. And like the tarot is very direct sometimes, and the oracle decks are like the angel oracles or that kind of a thing. They give you a specific message, but it's not with the whole story of it. It's more just like, this is what you need to know right now, and so we're going to talk about that directly.
I think maybe you should like deal some out.
Yeah.
I know. You read me before.
Yep.
And you read Brandon.
I did.
My co-host.
I read for him as well.
You know what? He didn't want to admit that you were hitting on some stuff because he had only shared with me.
Yeah, yeah.
About his love life. And he didn't want to get specific, that's for sure. But you had hit on some stuff and he just didn't want to fess up at the time.
It can be a little vulnerable sometimes. And I've had that happen quite a few times. And that's the kind of the fun thing about it too, is that as the reader, you don't have to give me any feedback. I can just tell you what it says and you can take that for whatever that means to you personally. I have people that I read for that don't ask me, they don't tell me what I'm reading about. Oh. Where it's just, here's that, and they'll be like, okay, well, and I'll ask them, you know, do you have a really clear idea of what you want to know about? And then if it's a couple different things, I'm like, so you know what this one means, you know what this one means, you know what this one means. Okay, then we're going to flip and read about that, to where I don't have to know, like, you don't have to share. And it can still be a tool that you can use.
Well, spiritual enlightenment.
Yeah.
I read spiritual enlightenment, self-awareness, self-improvement.
Yeah.
I would think any of those three, spiritual enlightenment.
That's the one
that
you want.
Would be the one that I would... Yeah, because we know me, what I'm into.
Yeah, absolutely.
Spooky stuff.
Absolutely.
You have to pass a spooky test just to get on this show. You passed it long ago. When you were in that haunted mansion reading tarot, that was enough for me. I like those vibrations that you're giving off.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I because it's just my daily life, I don't realize it's spooky until later. I'm like, oh yeah, that is a little weird, a little strange. All right, well, in that case, I'm going to have you cut these for me. And these ones.
On top?
Yep, however you like. So if we're going to do for spiritual enlightenment, then we're going to just kind of ask... It'll be talking about where you are right now, basis of the question, which is that spiritual enlightenment. So I'm just kind of tuning it real quick. These ones, I need you to pick two cards from anywhere in the deck. All right.
So I pick twin.
You've got twin intention, which is talking about collaboration, communication, and strength. So this is where we are right now, which is a good place to start. It's very literally talking about us collaborating right this moment. I'm gonna flip. All right, so we got some people. Okay, so first things first, here's you, and if we're talking about your spiritual enlightenment and just your spiritual journey, we've got the twin intention, collaboration, communication, and strength, which is talking about just the work that you do and helping other people kind of connect to and look at their own process is a very important part of your own spiritual journey, just in being able to embrace your own open-mindedness. And communicate about that, and communicate about things that you don't necessarily know about, but you're interested in learning. The Two of Pentacles is talking about you're already doing it, one step at a time is the message of the Two of Pentacles. That is finding your stable place and where you are now. And from that stable place, then that will give you the next stable place to move to. And it's just one step at a time. Where are we? Where do we want to go? Get there. Where are we? Where do we want to go? The side message of this is that you're probably doing better than you give yourself credit.
Well, doing this show, I've learned so much.
Yeah.
So many different areas that I would never, as a paranormal investigator, have the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so because we are reading about your spiritual enlightenment, we've got a couple face cards, but I'm going to be reading these as being aspects of you. Okay, so first things, where you are right now, we have the King of Swords. And so this is talking about how you have, you're a very mature communicator. You're very good at maneuvering through difficult situations and leading other people through them as well. And that's because you're very perceptive. And so you can see things coming from a long way off. And when it comes to like your own spiritual journey, you're not hiding from yourself. And so with that, it helps you kind of clearly say, oh, this is what I would like. So I'm going to go and learn more about this. So basis of the question is the Tower, which is one of my favorite cards. Not always a pleasant or comfortable one. The Tower is talking about the process of tearing down core beliefs that don't serve you anymore. It's getting to those, the roots of your feelings, the roots of your spiritual journey, you know, of like they, so little side note. So when it comes to your psychological development, most of the brain patterns that you have, like that you deal with for the rest of your life, are solid in your head by the time you're 8 years old. And so the Tower card is talking about the process of going back and looking at the core beliefs that you have inside of you. So like those automatic reactions to situations or anything that like you're doing it before you even realize what happened, where your mind and your body respond for you. That's a subconscious action, and that's something that you've been doing because you learned it from the adults around you growing up before you even knew what you were doing, because child minds don't think about, oh, I'm going to integrate this piece of information and I'm going to use it for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that. As a kid, you just learn what you learn, and you don't always know that the adults around you can be wrong or can be doing their best, but maybe not teaching you the right thing. And so the Tower is talking about going back and finding where you started believing things. And piece by piece, because it's an integration process, basically. So you're finding, which we're finding pieces of yourself that are like, oh, hey, you know, when I was a child, I thought that if I didn't do a really good job, then I wasn't going to be accepted or taken care of. And so from that core belief of, oh, I had a need to be taken care of, but I didn't do the thing right, and so the adult wasn't there for me the way that I needed. So child brain goes, well, if I do anything wrong ever, then everyone I love is going to abandon me, you know? And so the Tower is talking about getting back to that core belief of, oh, that kid version of me didn't learn the right lesson. And so for me, when I'm doing like inner child work or integration work, I go back as the adult that I am now, and I take the kid and I go, what do you need? You know, how can I help you meet that need? Even if it's just in my head going back in my memory, what can I do to help soothe that kid that learned that lesson wrong? And that was this basically a seed of pain that's been with me my whole life. How can I help comfort that? And so as you start doing that, you end up like sealing off entire streams of energy that you've been putting into something that wasn't true. And so as you correct it, now it's patched, and now you're like, I have more energy. I'm more solidly myself now, because I know who to check on inside myself when I'm making decisions or when I'm, you know, having an experience with something that's outside of my comfort zone. I know how to make sure that the parts of me that get anxious are aware that I'm aware of them. And so therefore I can take care of them a little bit better. So like a lot of times you have like automatic reactions. You do it because part of you learned something that situation is unsafe. And so it's like, you know, And so so this just gives you the opportunity to go, hey, it's okay. like dealing with a little kid. You're okay. Just a little bit of reassurance, a little bit of comfort. And that screaming part kind of calms down. It's like, okay, well, okay. You
know. Well, I had an early lesson.
Yeah.
When I was about 5, when my grandfather told me he was a ghost hunter.
Yeah.
And he pretty much coached me on how to deal with ghosts.
Yeah.
And I didn't really think a whole lot about it. But as I became an adult, I'm thinking, was that the right age? Would I do that now? Would I tell a 5-year-old or 4-year-old, you know, there are such thing as ghosts?
Maybe not that way. No. I mean, and that's something like, obviously, every person with kids is going to have a different place that they feel comfortable with that. But no, or at the very least going, hey, here's this, but let me give you information that will also make you feel safe and protected in this world where those things are real too.
Because I've came across that with other people that have children now, and like,
yeah,
do I take them on the ghost hunt with me? You know,
that's up to them, I think. And that's another thing that's really cool is you can ask them. Kids are so smart. and a lot of times, like when you first get here in your body, like kids are way more open and aware of things. So like talking to a kid about like, oh, who were you before here? Or do you remember, you know, this other stuff? And they're like, oh yeah, totally.
Oh yeah.
You know, so asking kids about ghosts it's an interesting question, but obviously, you know.
Apparently I was ready for it.
Well, different people are inclined to different things. You know, that's the same kind of sensitivities. Like I know fully grown adults that absolutely cannot watch violent things because that is too disturbing to them. And then I know other people that are like, yeah, that's comforting to me, you know? So everybody's got their own different limits. And so when you're dealing with kids, I think it's important to feel your own, because if you're teaching somebody from a solid place of here's the information that I have, but also here's information that I don't know, like, being able to tell a kid that you're not sure about something is a really powerful thing to do, because that gives them the knowing that they might have to figure that out for themselves. Oh, but I'm not going to teach you the wrong thing, saying this is the right way. And it's like, well, that didn't work very well for me. And so yes, maybe not a 5-year-old, but if the 5-year-old comes and tells you, hey, I'm, you know, experiencing things.
All right.
Now we got to talk about it, because I want them to feel as safe as I can help them to feel.
A lot of people that come on this show had very early experiences.
Yeah, I did too.
Right. Oh, you did?
Yep. When I was a kid, I saw stuff. My very first conscious prayer was, dear God, please let me not see demons.
Oh.
And so like I blocked a lot of the stuff. I think that's part of as I'm working on kind of dissolving my own core beliefs and mental barriers. I'm seeing things differently. Like as I work on it, or like if I have like a really strong session of self-healing, I'll see things differently. And like I'll see, you know, lights or something moving and be like, wait a second, you know? And so, yeah. Yeah,
something absolutely. You brought up earlier about feminine, and Mama Mary told me I needed to work on my feminine side.
We'll talk about that.
Oh, okay, good. Excellent.
Yeah. So coming back to here, the tower is the core belief we're talking about, your spiritual enlightenment, your spiritual journey. So recently behind you, we have the Prince of Pentacles. And so if we're talking about this as an aspect of yourself, the Prince of Pentacles is a very stubborn young man, somebody who is very much like, prove it, you know, prove it, because why would I put the effort into something that I'm not even sure is real? I need to know about that, because this is a very grounded individual. This is somebody who, you know, takes care of the people around them. I don't have time to spend my energy doing all of this frivolous stuff, because I have to take care of my responsibilities first before I start exploring things that may or may not even be real. And so this is a place that we're going to go forward in a second and talk a little bit more about that earth energy. But the Prince of Pentacles is definitely skeptical. And rightfully so, because there's a lot of information out there. And so when it comes to starting your own spiritual journey or advancing your spiritual journey, how do you know you're getting information from the right place? You know, there's a lot of information. There's 100 tarot decks that you could look at right now. And how do you know which one's the right one? That's where you have to learn how to feel your own intuition, and that will guide you, which going on right now, we have the magician, which would suggest that you are absolutely in that place now where you are tuned into yourself enough that you know that regardless of the situation that comes to you, you've got enough tools and information in your arsenal to be able to handle that situation as it presents itself, no matter what it is. Not saying that it'll be easy, not saying that it'll be something that you feel like you're, like, you know, knowing you can handle it doesn't always mean that you feel like you're handling it, you know. But the magician is the self-mastery card. This is the, I am doing my work. I'm doing my own work. I'm going through and I'm looking at myself and I'm not having automatic reactions that I'm using to impact other people before I'm aware of what's going on. And that's the best place to be. If you want to learn about something, then this is the card of I'm allowed to. I almost said entitled, but it almost feels more like, yeah, entitled is the right word. I'm entitled because I'm a sovereign being who has free will, and I know how to protect myself. I've educated myself enough that if there's something that I'm interested in knowing more about, I can trust that I'm not going to jump in too deep because I know that I'm being cautious. I know that I'm being careful. And so, and I also know when my body is saying, that's a bad idea, wow. You know, because it's important. And you've done the work to get to the place where when your body sends you the signal of, hey, that's a bad idea, you don't want to do that, you go, okay, let me go back. You know, a step retreat is always an option.
I know, key is understanding yourself and yes. Your own feelings. You kind of talked about that in your own feelings.
Yes.
That.
Yeah, it's good. So we're going to speed up a little bit.
To give you a message?
Yes. Oh. Four of Cups is talking about a space of not quite complacency, but kind of a space of where everything's okay, everything's not bad, not good. And that's not bad when you're doing this kind of work because it does take a lot of energy. And so being in a place where you're not pushing
can drain your energy in a hurry.
Yes. And it's important to allow yourself, like, you don't, nobody feels good all the time. And so when you're in a spot where I don't feel great, don't worry about that in a way of like, oh, I'm ruining my vibration. I'm messing with my alignment. It's just like, okay, here's where I am. That's okay. So the Tower, talking about this process that you're on, we have the Six of Wands, which is talking about victory. So if you can see it to want it, then you can get there and are actively working towards it. Influencing that, we have the Princess of Wands, which is talking about, we're talking about those feminine aspects that you're developing and working on. The Princess of Wands is the one who is very, very passionate, very creative, the one that gets inspired, you know, and with the feminine, it's in receiving. So being inspired to receive new information, being inspired to talk about something in a way where you're asking questions. With that, we've got Hopes and Fears, which is the Prince of Wands. So these two working together, the feminine and the masculine aspects of that. And that is being in a place where the Prince of Wands is a little bit of like a, you know, protect yourself, use your boundaries, use your wisdom. But also, because you know that you're doing that safely, then allow yourself to take safe steps forward because you know enough to listen to the wind and move backwards if you need to.
That makes sense.
Going forward, we've got the Queen of Pentacles, which is talking about moving into that really emotionally matured place when it comes to that groundedness and that stubbornness of like, I'm not so much, hey, prove it. It's more of a, I have my own wisdom and I can trust that to guide me through situations and in a way that is as soft as I need it to be. With that, we've got avoidance, which is procrastination, necessary action, and festering beliefs, which is just kind of a reminder with these, because we don't have any other really negative cards here.
Okay.
This would be more of a, sometimes procrastination is anxiety based. So sometimes you're not getting it done because it's not time for you to do it yet. And so don't put too much pressure on yourself, but also trust that you'll get it done if you need to get it done. Especially if you can't feel things very clearly, if you don't have clarity, then try not to take action. And if you have it, then go ahead. Festering beliefs is actively what you're taking apart.
Okay, excellent. Okay. You know, I like that. I like that reading a lot. I think you hit on some stuff. The mystic power of the cosmic universe. Yeah, now I know where it's coming from.
It's within all of us.
So we'll move on to the last part of the show. I'd like to do a shout out to the previous guest, Mama Mary Bassett. You know Mama Mary?
Yes, I do.
Mama Mary, because you were on Cryptic Frequencies with us when we were doing that show. And then shout out to Tyler, our new tech guy, is making this possible.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then Kim, Brandon, Tanya is a new member. She's from Columbus, Ohio, so she got a Zoom in. She thought about driving up here.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm like, geez, it's over a 5-hour drive. But maybe she will sometime. She likes the drive, she said. But anybody you want to give a shout out to?
Off the top of my head, not that I can think of, but that's because I'm off in a different
Maybe Molly, spot. Because we talked about
Definitely.
Having Molly on
Molly,
the show.
Flora Borealis is her. She's a flower witch, if you would.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And then upcoming and ongoing with us, it's WKTV televises. You'll be on TV again.
Great.
Comcast Channel 25, Universe 99. They do that twice a week. And then upcoming, I have JoJo Gerard. He's from FGR here in Grand Rapids. He's a DJ.
Cool.
And he had experience down in Gettysburg. And we also did a ghost hunt there at his building. So he's going to come in. We're going to talk about that. And then Exe, Suzanne Smith. She also throws Bruce in there now. Exe Suzanne Bruce Smith. She'll be coming in June, and that's probably going to be a Zoom show. She won't be into the studio, but for you, upcoming and ongoing?
I have just my online shop opening up, and that's going to be more than just like a store. Excuse me, that's more of just a connecting place where you can learn about all of the different stuff that I'm going. So I'm Esther Joy Tarot on Facebook. And then the 1990 Collectives, if you're interested in the body tuners.
Yeah, get a good close look at those. Okay, yeah, Esther Joy Tarot on Facebook if you want a reading.
Yeah,
okay,
you can schedule them right from my page.
Yeah, and then I did an article on Brandon in the WKTV Journal, and I am going to do an article on you and Tarot. Coming up on a WKTV Journal, so watch for that. But yeah, Brandon's in there right now with talk about Nick Finks and stuff we did at Nick Finks. And then for the final thought, it's only you and I, but still, I mean, the final thought is, you know, do you believe in magic? So when that this card came up, the magician, I thought how fitting.
Yeah.
So do you believe in magic? I mean, if so, I mean, what kind of magic?
100% I do. To me, all magic is science that just hasn't been explained yet.
Oh.
And so I love to use the term magic because that's what makes my brain sparkle. But I think everyone uses it. They just have different words for it. So a lot of people will call it, you know, the Holy Spirit or, you know, being prompted or being guided. But I think it's all kind of the same stuff. And I think it's all coming from the same place, even if we have different names for it.
Okay. Yeah, I believe in magic, not so much maybe the kind that the magicians do. I mean, we have Colon, Michigan, which is the magic capital of the world, but that's not, I don't believe in necessarily street magic. I don't know how some of these people do it. Chris
it's
Angel.
Incredible.
I don't know how he does that stuff.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's real magic. It's street magic. But I believe in real magic, black magic, white magic.
Yep.
I believe in spells can be cast and you could have a curse on you.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe in the deliverance ministry for a reason.
Definitely.
Because that stuff is out there and those forces are out there.
Yeah. It's important to cut those cords and to put those shields up.
Okay, well, it's the inspirational thought, which comes from actor, singer, producer, and wife of Tom Hanks, Rita Wilson. And it kind of ties in with what Mama Mary has to say about gratitude. Mama Mary says, breathe in gratitude, breathe out satisfaction, right?
Yeah.
So this quote, the inspirational thought, is gratitude is the antidote to fear. And there's always something to be thankful for. Like I say, I fell off the roof, broke my back in 5 places. I'm thankful to still be walking.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I like to maintain that positive attitude, I think it's the way to go.
Gratitude is the best, and it is what will save us all.
There you go. Thanks so much for being on the show again. A lot of fun. Yeah. I like the reading. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Peace out, everybody.
Family-owned Palermo Pizza underwrites this episode of Grand Rapids Ghost Hunters Paranormal Podcast. Located at 901 Gazan Parkway, Southwest Wyoming, and available at 616-531-8300.
The opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of the producer and not necessarily those of WKTV Community Media.